Welcome to an original musical production for the Easter season, The Disciple Whom Jesus Loves. Brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. Part 9.
Jesus returned to Jerusalem for another feast. Near the sheep gate in the city was a pool called Bethesda. Here lay many invalids, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, all waiting for a sign of hope. Rabbi, why have we come to this place?
The stench is overwhelming.
These people have nowhere else to go.
Jesus didn't answer, but continued moving through the crowd until he stopped near a man lying on a mat. This paralyzed man had a weathered face, suggesting years of suffering. He didn't notice Jesus at first.
My friend, how long have you been here?
Who wants to know?
One who sees your suffering.
Then you have good eyes. 38 years I've been like this. Almost 4 decades waiting for healing.
Do you want to be made well?
What kind of question is that? Of course I want to be healed. But I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I'm trying to get there, someone else steps down ahead of me.
Your days of waiting are over. Stand up, take your mat and walk.
There was a moment of stillness. The man looked confused. Then a change came over his face. He slowly moved his limbs, testing them. With growing wonder, he pushed himself to a sitting position, then gradually stood.
38 years on this mat, watching life pass me by. 38 years of waiting under an indifferent sky. My youth and strength long faded, my hopes turned brittle and dry. Invisible to
Thank you. I don't know who you are, but...
Before he could finish, religious leaders swept into the pool area with temple guards.
It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat.
But the man who made me well said to me, take up your mat and walk.
Who is this person who told you to break the Sabbath? Where is he?
The man turned to look for Jesus, but we had already moved on. The Pharisees began to question others.
Did anyone see who healed this man? Speak up.
Master, they're looking for you. Perhaps we should leave.
Why does healing this man anger them so? Should not mercy triumph over ritual?
My father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working.
Rabbi, be careful how you speak. They'll call such words blasphemy.
As we talked, the healed man noticed us and approached, not realizing the danger he was creating.
There you are. The priests want to know who healed me.
Halt! Halt!
So it is you who violates our sacred Sabbath. First you command this man to carry his mat, breaking the law. Now we hear you call God your own father, making yourself equal with God.
Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son also does. The Father loves the Son and shows him all he does.
Listen to his blasphemy.
Just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it.
Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath, or to do evil, to save life?
Be silent, young man. This doesn't concern you.
It is precisely his concern, and yours. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and will not be judged but has crossed over from death to life.
Not here. Not now. There are too many people. We will let you alone now, but Galilean, we are not finished with this matter.
I didn't mean to create trouble for you.
You are well now. Don't return to a life of sin, lest something worse befall you.
The healed man nodded, then walked away, carrying his mat and still marveling at his restored limbs. The crowd began to disperse, but many watched Jesus with new interest.
They'll be watching you more closely now.
We should leave Jerusalem.
There is still work to be done here.
You spoke of the Father showing you all he does. What did you mean?
The hour is coming when all who are in their graves will hear the voice of the Son of God and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned.
I didn't understand then what he meant about raising the dead. How could I? Only later would I witness the greatest sign of all. But that day at Bethesda, I began to see. The healing of the body was just a glimpse, a shadow of the deeper healing he offered, life that transcends death itself. And I saw something else too, how truth and mercy could provoke such opposition. The battle lines were being drawn, though we didn't yet comprehend the cost of the coming conflict. Jesus, can you not sleep?
Perhaps I should ask you the same question, John, as you are out here in the middle of the night.
I thought you might be praying.
I was. Now I'm listening.
To the wind?
To the Father, and to you.
Why me?
Why not you?
You've got Peter. He's bold. Andrew always asks the right questions. Even Judas knows numbers better than any of us. But me, I write things down and feel too much.
You see more than you say, and when you do speak, it reaches deep. You feel what others only glance at.
You say things I don't understand, but I want to. I don't just believe you came from God. I think you are. Something more.
Hold that thought. One day the words will catch up to the wonder.
You're not like anyone else, and they're starting to hate you for it.
They hated the prophets before me, and the light is always too bright for those who live in shadows. But I didn't come to condemn, I came to save. You'll see more than you think you can bear, but you'll also see an empty tomb.
Then I'll write it down, so the world will know what love looks like.
You already do.
He spoke as if he saw the end before the beginning, as if time folded in his hands. I didn't understand it then, but I stayed close, close enough to hear his heartbeat.
To be continued.